Here we go. Good evening. I call this January 7th, 2025 meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Darrell Bozeger. I'm the chairman of the Planning Commission. My pleasure to welcome you here tonight. This is a public meeting and you're encouraged to take part of the process. Please participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. There are several rules to help us proceed with an orderly meeting. I ask you to keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to make a call, please step outside the chamber. If you wish to speak, please raise your hand. I'll ask you to come to the podium, state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep remarks brief, about 3 minutes. We'll try to keep track of the time for you. We'll keep track of what you're saying. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is posted by both exits. I now call for a roll call of amendments.
Bozeger?
Here.
Haleska? Pounds?
Here.
Kading?
Here.
Huber? Radner? Schroeder?
Here.
Boswell?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
I'd like to now call for the approval of the minutes from the December 3rd, 2024 meeting.
I'm calling for approval.
Who said that?
Me.
Second.
Call by Schroeder, second by Heinrich to approve the minutes. Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye, Kading, Pounds, Schroeder, Bozeger, Heinrich, abstaining, Boswell.
Thank you. I'll open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit renewal application submitted by Melinda K. Rump, 1663 Washington Street, Blair, Nebraska, for the continuation of a licensed preschool on the main floor on Lot 14, Block 46 in the City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, 1663 Washington Street, for 10 years. Jeff.
Good evening, Planning Commission, Commissioners, and Happy New Year. Full agenda again tonight, so we can get started. Your first consideration is the condition use permit for the preschool in downtown Blair. Property located in the CCB Business Zoning District at 1663 Washington Street. This preschool requires an exception, or is an exception requires a condition use permit because it falls under 802.04 exceptions, and number 10 is other trade and services similar to permitted principal uses, which are in harmony with this district. This would be the third condition use permit application. First one in 2009 for 5 years, then again in 2014 for 10 years. We've not received any complaints, we've not received any comments, either now or before from the records. I've never heard anything about parking issues in that area. According to information provided by the preschool, the hours are Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the morning and then in the afternoon. This preschool is licensed for a maximum of 12 children and is also regulated by the State Fire Marshal's Office for occupancy and then the Nebraska HHS. Here's an overview of the location. 16th and Washington Street right there, 17th. The building second to the end. Here is our zoning overlay showing CCB Central Business District surrounding the rest of the residence and preschool. And from the street view, you can see the south side of the street looking facing east. Any questions on this CUP renewal?
Thank you. Would the applicant like to speak on this issue? You don't need to, unless you want to.
I'll leave this question. Your question? Are you just want me to come up and say my name to the microphone?
No questions.
Okay.
Thank you. So I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I recommend approval as presented of the renewal application submitted by Melinda K. Rupp for 10 years.
I'll second it.
Motion by Kading, seconded by Pounds, to approve this application. Any further questions or please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that will go to the city council. Now we're doing it next week, right?
No, 28th of January.
Okay, so it is 3 weeks away.
Okay.
Sorry about that. 3 weeks away. Okay, let me get myself so I can see my next issue here. I'll open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit application submitted by Stephen L. and Kathleen Cook, 1038 James Drive in Blair, Nebraska, to allow the continuation of a restaurant and parking on tax lots 45 and 81 in Section 7, Township 18 North, Range 12. Oops, there's more to this, sorry. East of the 6 p.m. in the city of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, 600 Marina Drive for 20 years. Yeah.
This is a new conditional use permit. The Marina Inn is in an industrial area. Familiar with the last couple of months, we're working with the mobile home park, Long's Mobile Home Park, and the overlays. The Marina is right next to that, and this is up in the northeast part of the city. Current zoning is AMH, heavy industrial, which things like mobile home parks, but more importantly, restaurants are not allowed in AMH. As we were changing all of the future zoning and current zoning over to this to get everything in kind of in compliance with what we want to see in the future, the Marina Inn was part of that. They actually had already been rezoned as heavy industrial, and their future zoning was heavy industrial a long time ago. So for about the last dozen or more years, they've actually been a non-conforming business or use right there, which means that if something happened more than 50%, they would not be able to rebuild as a restaurant. As we are working with the different mobile home park and the Marina Inn and trying to come up with a way to make sure that everybody can keep doing what they're doing now, we did come up with that special mixed overlay. So an overlay, and this has already been put in place last month, section 1010 allows mobile home parks, sorry about that, and restaurants associated parking, excluding drive-ins, in this overlay area. However, as part of that overlay, this does need a conditional use permit, which means that they do need to come before Planning Commission tonight and then Council to get approval to become a permitted use. If they are not given a conditional permit, they can still operate through the non-conforming thing as sort of a grandfather clause. But the conditional use permit will give them the option of being a permitted use. So if something does happen, they can rebuild. Again, we're looking at this part of town here. This is the overlay that was already in place, has already been placed. You can see it includes the mobile home park here and then this part there. That is already in place. We're talking about two tax lots, 81 to 46, which is so Marina and parking. Again, here is the overlay as it is now, which means heavy industrial. And here is a ground shot of the place that it looks down with parking. So again, heavy industrial, the overlay is put in place. Part of that overlay does mean that they do apply for conditional use permit to continue to operate as a permitted use. Any questions? Oh, and the mobile home park was granted the same CUP for their mobile home park use last month, I believe. Any questions for staff on this? I know I kind of rushed through it quick, but sorry about that.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have questions of the applicant? Anyone have questions of the applicant?
Nope.
So unless the applicant would like to speak, we don't have any questions. Anyone else want to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Recommend approval as presented of the application submitted by Stephen L. and Kathleen Cook for 20 years.
Second.
Motion by Kading, second by Boswell to approve for 20 years as presented. Any other questions? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So the motion passes, and it's now it's 3 weeks. We're still doing 3 weeks then? Okay. 3 weeks before the city council. I'll open a public hearing to consider whether to designate such area as blighted, substandard, and in need of redevelopment pursuant to the Community Development Law, Nebraska Revised Statutes, Sections 18-2101, its sequence, and to give their recommendation to the city council. Jeff?
We'll turn the microphone over to Jeff Ray of JEO, who will be able to explain the process.
Thank you, Jeff. Again, my name is Jeff Ray. I'm a planner with JEO Consulting Group. It's a pleasure to be back before you. I've been here for a couple years. It's always exciting to see all the crazy things that are going on here and how you're directing the city's growth. It's very exciting to see. So, the city contacted me to do a blight study in this area we called the Highway 30 Far South, because we already have a Highway 30 area and we couldn't rename it that for confusion purposes. Should you recommend approval to this and the planning as planning commission and the city council ultimately adopt it, it would bring your total of blighted acreage to about 33% of the total corporate limits, which is under the threshold under the state statute of 35%, which would leave you approximately 85 acres beyond this, assuming this 150 acre study was recommended. So there's still area for additional area, and there's always areas that could be removed should the city council do that with a similar action. So I just wanted to preference that. That is one part of the state statute. And then go through a little quick presentation here for you. Why do we have a blight substandard area? What does that mean? Why do we have this name? How will that impact property owners in the area? What does the city want to do with this, and why would somebody want to do it? And then, so what are some of those findings as well? So what is a blight study? So a blight study, and I have copies of the presentation there for you as well, are authorized under the state statute to declare an area as blighted and substandard. That is the eligibility process to get to tax increment financing. This does not mean you're going to do tax increment financing. All it means is that area, projects in that area are eligible for tax increment financing, or TIF as we refer to it. For a TIF project to come forward, they would come through a similar process. They would come back before you at Planning Commission for public hearing, and back before City Council for approval for public hearings as well. So this is not approving TIF. This simply is approving an area where they would be TIF eligible, and it's allowing that economic development tool to be utilized in this particular area. So the process is pretty simple. You go through an area, declare it blighted and substandard as a city. You already have some areas that are declared blighted and substandard. You create a redevelopment plan or redevelopment project that comes forward to you. There are many components to that, including an economic analysis that determines what we call the but-for rule. In other words, but-for tax increment financing, the project is not feasible. So they have to prove that to you, prove that to the city council before TIF would actually happen. And then ultimately they would implement TIF for a maximum up to 15 years under this blight study. It is not up to 20 years in some cases, but this is not an extremely blighted area. It is a regular blighted area. So everybody's always wondering, what does blight and what does substandard mean? So the summary under the state statute, this is typically what this means and how we look at it and how we summarize those criteria. It's a substantial number of deteriorating structures, unsanitary and unsafe conditions, deterioration of blight or deterioration of site and other improvements. There's a stable or decreasing population. The average age of the structures is 40 years old. There's economic and social liability that's detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare. There's a diversity of ownership. There's been improper subdivision or obsolete platting. Half of the area has been inside the corporate limits for more than 40 years and remained undeveloped. There's high density, overcrowding, or and/or special taxes. So that's a summary of the blighted. Yes, sir.
checking that list off, one of those would make it blighted, or does it have to be more than one of those?
That's an excellent question. So there's no rule, there's been no court cases on how many have to be there, or how many don't have to be there. I've worked in communities where there's been as few as four or five that have been present, but they've been prevalent enough that they've felt that that was desirable for them to declare this area in need of redevelopment. And in this case, when we get to the end, you'll see that I believe of those 12 criteria, 10 were found to be present in the area. And then there's, you also have to find them to be substandard, and the same goes for the substandard. So there's no rule that meets that. But as we go through this and you go through the findings, you'll see that there, I believe that there's a substantial evidence of prevalence throughout the entire region.
I have one other question I wanted to characterize. What does it mean for the diversity of ownership? What does that mean?
So diversity of ownership means, is it all under one or two property owners? If you're going to redevelop property, and it's an impediment for you to have to gather together and compile multiple parcels under multiple ownerships and negotiate those out, and say there's 10 parcels there that you're trying to gather under one bigger redevelopment, and you got one that's a holdout, they could maybe essentially hold you hostage and require twice as much. So that's one of those criteria, is the way the states did that. And the statute goes back to the early 70s in Nebraska, which seems like a long time ago, but it was Nebraska was one of the very late adopters of blight, as we learned from lots of other states how not to do it, particularly California, and has a more conservative approach, which is very appropriate probably for our state.
Thank you.
Okay, other questions on the blighting? All right, I'll proceed then. On the substandard side, then the criteria are similar. It's dilapidation, deterioration, or age or obsolescence of structures, dangerous conditions that endanger life or property due to fire or other such causes, inadequate provision for light, ventilation, and air, defective or unusual condition of title, unemployment in the area equals 120% of the state or national average, and the per capita income is less than the citywide average. So those are the criteria that were used to analyze. This was done through a field analysis where we drove through, literally looked at every parcel, took notes on graphic information systems on GIS and on iPads, loaded all that information together, looked at the county assessor's information that was available, as well as the legal boundary criteria with the surveyor to determine what criteria were present or were not present. So the study area is delineated here in magenta. Seems odd, you got a little peninsula coming down in there. That area is already declared blighted, so that's why it was not kind of squared off. We did follow property lines. We don't want to make part of the property in and one a parcel, part of a parcel out. Also did a quick review prior to analyzing all of, say, is there criteria present here? Does this look like it's worth the effort to actually do? And was there potential for development to happen? You don't want to just declare an area blighted substandard if nothing's ever going to happen, if it's going to potentially negatively impact the city in some way. So this all, met all of those criteria. So we looked at that and delineated that area and worked it out with the city staff to make sure that was the area that needed to be studied.
Is that all inside the city?
It is not all inside the city. The majority of it is. Do I have a laser here? Yeah. I believe these parcels are out. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
These three. I think the rest of this is in. I think this is, that's in. And then the rest of the city kind of goes down over here.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure about a blight study that's not in the city. That's why it's kind of,
it doesn't have to be in the city. It will be, have to be annexed prior to utilization of tax increment financing, but not to be actually in the blight study. Okay. So here we get to the analysis and the findings. So we drove through here, we did structural rating, looking at this. The easy way to think about this, if it's dilapidated or deteriorating, the property owner will likely need a contractor to hire somebody to replace windows and siding and doors and roof, those types of things. If it's something that a homeowner can normally maintain, they would be considered as fair or good condition. So that's what those dots are on the right. For the structures that were rated there, with the red being the one dilapidated outbuilding there, and then the orange being dilapidated or deteriorating structures that would potentially need contractors to repair and bring them up to complete standards. So, when we look at lot layout, here's just a portion of that area. You can see there's been some, obviously you had highways come through here, a roundabout installed, and so the state has built some stuff in here. We got weird shapes here. We built rectangular buildings, so they don't work very well on triangles. We got acute angles. We got a landlocked lot that doesn't actually get back to a street. So some of those were there. Some of them were too large, really, for any to be any type of development. So they would need to be further subdivided, and therefore the lot layouts were found to be present to a condition that would need and warrant subdivision of several areas. Deterioration of site improvements. There were drainage issues that were noted in deterioration and erosion. Some of the roads do not meet urban standards, they're more of the rural standards with ditches. Many of the residential properties in particular lacked any type of paved driveways or parking areas, and so other on-site improvements, including numerous outbuildings that were noted to be in deteriorating state. We look at potential unsafe conditions. So there were debris piles that were noted, and there are pictures in there of some of those that are close in proximity to houses as well, that can potentially be fire hazards. As we know, wildfires are becoming more and more of a threat, as well as they harbor vermin that can carry disease and be potentially dangerous to humans and other animals. There's a portion of floodway right along here where some structures are very close and in the floodplain, but floodway well in that area. Lack of sidewalks throughout the entire area if you're a pedestrian. I don't know how you get around there other than just walking on the road and risking your life. And then some of the areas were significantly overgrown with brush, and there was one note that there was also fuel tanks that were very close to the floodplain as well. Some of those additional criteria you can see there, you get some of the debris piles and the erosion and steep banks that were noted in here. Junked cars that were parked out in the field as well. There's the fuel tank. We also looked at the county records for age of residential structures. The county did not have commercial structures, so we only looked at the residential structures. And there was only one commercial structure, so it didn't really make sense to look at that. The average age of those residential structures then is 46 years of age, according to the criteria there when you average all of those residential structures in there. So red meaning they were more than 40 years, and the green meaning they were less than 40 years of age. Again, that's the state legislature said 40 years is old. Looked at the transportation network, rated the roads and sidewalks. How easily can you get around town, not necessarily even in a vehicle, but even on foot or bike. 133 obviously is very nice. It's been really newly constructed. That was the one that was rated good. Highway 30 was fair. Many of the other roads were poor. For some reason, it's not showing up here. This is also a green road here. This frontage road out front of, I call it Mutual Omaha. Is it still Mutual Omaha? Or
no.
Former Mutual Omaha. How's that? So that road was a green road, but did lack sidewalks. and particularly this, the county section railroads here and the dead end here, and then my maintenance road were of poor quality as well. So as we go through that, and we turn on the GIS and say where are these criteria present or not. As we turn them on, they were on all the sites on every parcel except for one right here. It didn't make sense really to just jog in and not make that congruent. So it does need to be contiguous. So we recommended the entire area, saying that there are criteria throughout that entire district. It's not all concentrated on one parcel. The entire area has some characteristic that could be declared blighted as substandard. As a result, got a little distorted. The map that you can see there for the area that was studied is recommended that you recommend that to City Council to be declared blighted substandard. The summary table criteria then is shown there on the far right, showing that 10 of the 12 blighted characteristics were found to be present, and 3 of the 4 substandard characteristics, or a total of 12 of the 16 characteristics. Okay. Threw a lot at you and summarized the report pretty quickly. All the pictures and everything that were in here were in the from within this district as well.
I have a quick question. How does that affect the homes that are there? Because I know there's one of the motel there.
Yeah, that's a great question. So it does not affect the property in any way other than makes them eligible for tax increment finance. So if a property owner chooses to redevelop their property or sell to a developer who needs to utilize TIF, it gives them that extra opportunity to do that. There's nothing that gets recorded against the property. The banks aren't notified. There's no signs that go up, flashing signs, say warning, now entering that blight substandard district. In fact, we're in one right now, in case you didn't know that, within the core area of downtown. This is a blight substandard district. But yeah, it does not affect anybody other than it gives them the opportunity to use tax increment financing. There have been questions over the years about doing studies on real estate wise, but nobody's ever found anything that I have seen, and I've been doing this since 1992, that says anything negative. The only thing that I am aware of is there was a person in Omaha that was unblighted, and he sued the city because he said it diminished his property value now that he was no longer blighted because he couldn't use tax increment financing. So it was the negative effect. He was saying that it actually positively affected his property and not negatively when he was in.
I'm kind of a, when you go out, almost any time you do country stuff, it's almost always going to be blighted because of trash piles, and the roads are always just gravel or dirt. So you're going to almost always can make farm areas, or agricultural areas, I should say.
Not always. I just recently looked at an area outside of Springfield. It was an agricultural area, and it didn't have enough criteria for me to say that I think it warranted them to do a study, declare blight and substandard. But agricultural areas do lack infrastructure and some of the things that are specifically stated, and do also usually have older buildings and debris piles that can pose threat to the urban environment, particularly on the periphery as the city continues to grow in that area.
Any questions?
No, I'm good.
Thank you for your presentation. Does anybody in the audience want to speak on this issue?
First of all, were we supposed to
Yes, state your name and spell your last name and address.
My name is blighted too, apparently. But were we supposed to get notification of this?
Your address?
366 County Road 31. I would have known about it until about 5 minutes before 7. My neighbor called me, asked if I was going to the meeting. I go, what meeting? So I don't know if she's got it or I don't feel she got it.
Yeah, there's not a legal requirement that every property...
Oh, nobody has to notice them.
Well, no, I didn't say that. There's not a legal requirement that every property owner be notified. It was in the newspaper twice as a public notice.
I didn't pay it every year, but I guess that's not fault too.
Yes.
So if we can blight bare ground, but I know Omaha went through this, Douglas County went through this, I know there's not a vehicle here, but... anything can be blighted no matter what. The old house won't be down until June. Thanks to every storm pushing everybody else's back. I'm just not getting notifications. I didn't have any time to prepare anything either. So, but whatever. I don't know, it looks like the city's morning street view. The old cutoff, pretty bad, right?
On what else?
The old cutoff road you were talking about.
No, but yeah.
Yeah. So maybe next time we'll get notice, and I'm sure this is the wrong way to go anyway before we do anything, but anyway.
Okay, thank you. Jeff.
Jeff, Mr. Willamott, this will be addressed at the January 28th City Council meeting also. So I'll just let you know there'll be notes in the paper, but so we can prepare and hide it again.
5 minutes.
Anyone else want to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. What would the commission like to do? I'd like to make sure I know what we're, that we know what we're voting on. What we're just making sure is that this meets the comprehensive plan. Is that correct? Or is there something else we're voting on here besides that?
Yeah, thank you. Phil Green, City Administrator. This is slightly different from the standpoint that you wouldn't want to favor something that would be contradictory to your comprehensive plan. But really, these blight studies kind of stand by themselves from the standpoint of that, as Jeff Roy went over, there's lots of statutory requirements that have to be met that oftentimes don't get addressed directly in our comprehensive plan. Now, our comprehensive plan in general, though, does talk about trying to maintain a community that is, you know, clean and well kept up and some things like that. So it's kind of not in conflict with the comprehensive plan, but I would really look at it, and the criteria is, do you feel like there's sufficient justification to recommend that this area should be declared blighted substandard? And again, nobody likes those terms. So there's terms that the state, you know, has placed upon this, but you know, these are areas that could use some redevelopment, that could use you know, potentially some subdividing of lands and, you know, infrastructure improvements and some things like that. And even as Jeff Ray said, you know, generally speaking, land that is in a redevelopment district is actually valued higher or has at least a potential for better turnover than the lands that don't. That's one of the questions that we oftentimes get asked by developers.
The other question I have is, because you have to worry about, you know, how much is the city's blighted.
Correct. There's a statutory
But you're taking some land outside the city and putting it in part of the city blighted area, right? So,
in largely because you know, if you go back and look at the map, obviously we do have some development that's taking place.
Right.
There we got that Blair Crossing development that's being utilized for TIF.
Yeah.
Again, in this particular area, one of the things. Because Blair Crossing, what's unique about it is the highway improvements that need to be made. The TIF that is going where Blair Crossing is being utilized by the developer for that development and getting that site ready, so all the grading that needs to be done for that. The city is helping to contribute to some of the improvements on the highways. We're hoping that in the future, then, future TIF development could occur, and then the city would be able to recoup through that TIF process some of those funds ourselves. So in a sense, we're planning for the future and future development so that we can recoup some of the funds that we're using to invest in this in the first place.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I was just saying you're using up some of your area that you can blight with land that's outside the city limits. That's the only thing I was pointing out.
Yeah, correct.
Can I ask one question, Phil?
Yes.
Does it, it means that the land becomes more desirable to, like, developers? Does it affect the tax base for, like, the people that own the land? Or does it, like, because it's considered substandard, does it decrease the value?
No, it doesn't decrease the value at all. Assessors generally, number one, they're not officially notified of it, so you know they have to kind of find out through a study like this themselves. It really comes down to market availability. You know, if they decide for some reason that an area that is beginning to develop is increasing in value, they might increase the property value of that property. But the study itself doesn't cause that.
Okay.
It's just the market interest.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Anybody else want to speak on this issue? I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Nobody? Okay. I recommend approval of the designated area as blighted, substandard, and in need of redevelopment pursuant to the community development law and be forwarded to the Blair City Council for final review and approval.
I'll second it.
Motion by Kading, second by Pounds to approve sending this on to the City Council. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Now, I guess that's 3 weeks. Okay. I will open a public hearing to consider an ordinance adopting an updated future land use map on tax lots 15, 16, 18, 21, 25, 30, 31, 51, 52, and 55 in the southeast quarter, the northeast quarter of Section 24, Township 18 North, Range 11, all east of the 6 p.m., Washington County, Nebraska, changing any future parks and recreation zoning to residential single-family zoning. Jeff.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that. As we start working with the property and the parcels by the Hollow Road bypass and south and the future annexation, which is in for third reading at the next City Council meeting, we're also looking at doing rezoning, not only for the future land use map, but also the current land use map. One thing we have right now in this area, this is still out of city limits and will not completely be within city limits after the annexation, but is within our 2-mile ETJ, which we do have control of, the planning and zoning. We have several areas here in the future land use map that are earmarked, for lack of a better word, for recreation. As you'll see right here, all this area right here is parks and recreation only. So for anyone to develop it for anything else, to change it to single family housing, multifamily, anything like that, it just makes no sense because it's already parks and recreation. You have to go through that. We were looking at this, not quite sure why this is that way, but for just better use, we wish to have everything in the future land use map change to single family. So what this area, all this green looks like on, my apologies, on the actual GIS is all these hills and wooded area here. There's some areas up here where they've used it for dirt. Again, a lot of these are hills, scrubs, everything else. Whether it would make good parks and recreation down the road, we don't know. One thing for parks and recreation, much like Southern Hills, is if you do a bit of development, such like a residential subdivision or subdivide land, you can put in for parks and rec at that area. This area right here, we don't feel is really a good designation for future land use. We just want to pull it out of this area and put it within the general single family. Again, this is all this area down here. Want to go look at this as we look at all the trees and everything. And then afterwards, you will see we are proposing that everything be changed just to single family. And let the developers or anybody else work with it as it comes forth. But before we can do anything else, we do want to change the future land use map to all single family. Try not to make that too confusing. I'm sorry if it is. Can I answer any questions?
So we don't have any idea why that was designated as part
of it? I don't. Phil was here before I was, Mr. Green.
You'll get
it.
Does somebody have a grand idea to put a nature preserve out there? Or?
Yeah, well, in again, keep in mind, our last comprehensive plan was done in 2015. And I think at that point in time, because, again, these are wooded areas, they were simply designated as potential recreational areas or areas that you could leave that way if you divided around it and then built homes around it. You could envision trails and some walkways, some things like that. So I think it was fairly easy just to kind of designate it that way. And I'll simply say this, my own opinion, sometimes when you're doing things like this, people are wanting to know, well, where are the parks going to be? The easy thing is to say, well, see, there's trees right there. We'll do some park out there maybe someday. But you're not really committing to it. It's a long-term plan. So it was easy to designate it that way. I just think that if we're trying to be purists and look at future land use map really should show the potential for future development, I'd rather see in future comprehensive plans that we do the hard work of saying this is a good location for a park, let's designate it that way. We know that we develop around it or towards that goal, if you will. Whereas here, you know, some of this could easily get removed, and if you're not careful, then people are objecting that, well, you're violating the future land use map.
So there's nothing, even though that's designated as future parks, that the property owners out there couldn't clear that and farm it right now?
Correct.
I mean, there's no real...
Right.
Nothing holding that as a nature preserve or anything else.
Right. No. There's a legal process people could go through for doing some of that, and that's been done, you know, occasionally in certain places. But yeah, you're exactly right. The landowners, whether they know that, well, this area over here is, you know, future land use of residential, but right here where the trees are is park, and so therefore you can't do certain things with it.
Any more questions, staff? Go ahead, Nick.
I guess this is for Phil.
Yes.
Okay. So historically, you look at this map and you say, and you say now, okay, this is going to be a single-family development, okay? And you do single-family development with all of this parkland from an aesthetic standpoint. That makes it quite attractive, okay? I understand what you're saying about changing, but also understand what you're saying about looking forward, okay, and intentionally. Is there any way in the development of this that we can say X amount of acres or whatever will in fact be recreational land or parkland?
Excellent question, and we already have that in our subdivision regulations, so it does stipulate that a certain percentage of acreage should be set aside for parks and recreational kinds of uses. Again, I think this was done as a fairly easy process since there were just trees there, we'll designate it that way, as opposed to maybe a little bit more difficult challenge of saying, where do we really want a park someday in the future? And then as development occurs, you make sure that that's an area that you want to do it. Or, you know, some communities are blessed with other areas that are just very natural, wide open grassland areas that you'd really want to leave preserved like that. You could designate that, and that would be totally appropriate. I really don't think that was necessarily the case here. It was an easy way to do that kind of designation. I would love to see even more language in our subdivision regulations that really stipulate what that park area is going to look like. And then again, as Planning Commission members, one of the key things you should always be paying attention to is when subdivisions come to you, and especially if they're larger ones, where is the recreational areas? Are the trails there? You know, all those kinds of things that make for quality of life, you know, and need to be a part of those developments.
Thank you.
Is anyone here like to speak on this issue today? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Anybody else want to read it?
I recommend the approval as presented by the updated future land use map on tax lots 15, 16, 18, 21, 25, 30, 31, 51, 52, and 55, changing any future parks and recreation zoning to residential single family zoning.
Excuse me, and there's also a...
You got to tell you the rest of it also.
Oh, we didn't get that.
Do I?
And...
In the southeast, you got to do that part too.
It's different. We have different things on each one. Mine goes longer. In the southeast corner of the case. That, you got that?
That's that is the agenda item. If we put it on the agenda, what you meant.
But my recommendation is different than those.
Oh.
And I don't know how that is.
Yeah.
You don't have the whole thing?
No.
All right, you can make the amendment then.
Okay.
The motion.
I'm going to make the motion.
Okay.
Recommended approval is presented, the ordinance adopting and updated the future land use map on tax lots 15, 16, 18, 21, 25, 30, 31, 50, 152, and 55, changing any future parks and recreational zoning to residential single-family zoning. And the southeast quarter of the northeast quarter of section 24, township 18, north range 11, all east of the 6th p.m. And be forwarded to the Blair City Council for final review and approval. That they're different.
Do you want to second that, Jim?
Yeah, I'll second that.
We'll get it.
Sorry about
that.
Okay, so a motion was made by Kading, seconded by Pounds, to approve, send this ordinance adopting future land use map, as they said. Any more questions on this? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Okay, so that'll go to the city council in 3 weeks. I will open a public hearing to consider an ordinance adopting an updated future land use map on tax lots 282, 283, and 285 in section 13, township 18 north, range 11, east of the 6 p.m., Washington County, Nebraska, changing the future zoning from residential single family to commercial. It's the South Hollywood Hollow Road bypass area. Jeff.
Thank you. For your next consideration, we are at the future land use map. In this area right here. Initially, before the bypass came in and everything else, with the Parks and Rec area, this was all in the future zone for just residential. At this point, with the Hollow Road bypass installed, and there's been interest in these three tax lots just on the south side, in order for us to change the actual zoning map, we do have to adjust the future land use map. So our request is to take three tax lots. This is the Hollow Road bypass right here, and take these three tax lots and change the future zoning to commercial. So that we can rezone that later on in the meeting to highway commercial. Again, here's the current zoning. We see this residential there. This again, future land use map, and then that would change to commercial. Once again, this is a future land use map. It has to be changed ahead of time in order for to even vote on any changes for the land use map. I know we keep jumping back and forth between maps. That's just the way we have to do it. Any questions for staff on this one?
What's the bright red zoning to the left?
Right here?
Yeah.
That is commercial also.
Okay.
So it's existing commercial on the future land use map.
Yep. So that would be contiguous to that.
Walmart, Cargill.
That's Walmart. Gotcha. It just looks different colors to me. That's why I was confused.
Oh.
Yeah. And one thing Jeff didn't mention, and we kind of took it off here because we've been playing around with these maps so much here in the recent months. There used to be kind of an undefined strip along there because we've known for years that the bypass was going to be someplace in this area. And so it's not uncommon for us along highways or in regards to the South Bypass, the area that we knew the bypass was going to be someplace in there, that we just had this wide swath of red that went through there. So this. Usually what happens is you do that as kind of an expected layout, and then as development really does occur, then you actually come back in and you rezone appropriately to where those property lines are. It just so happens now that with the bypass actually being defined, the property owner came to us and already has this marketed for commercial purposes. And so it just makes sense now to, instead of just having a strip along there, to do the whole lot, or all of the lots, and that's what we're doing there. So.
Sounds good.
Any more questions of staff? Does anybody in the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I recommend approval as presented of the updated future land use map on tax lots 282, 283, and 285, the area south of the Hollow Road bypass, changing the future zoning from residential to residential single family to commercial.
Second that.
Motion by Kading, second by Boswell to approve the future, the change of the future land use map as presented. Please vote.
We can have a discussion after.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I should usually have it. Go ahead, let's have a discussion.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
All right, so now we're changing some of that land to commercial. And my past experience sitting with the Planning Commission is that when you have, for example, single family against commercial, that's a bigger rub than, for example, having more dense population against commercial.
Right.
If you're going against industrial, you have even more of a conflict, like we do over the Conoco area and so forth.
Jeff, you want to mention just, again, it's future land use, and unfortunately we don't have as fine detail when it comes to that zoning, I mean, you know, because it's a future land use.
Right. It's basically, it's just the future land, making it available for commercial, for actually highway commercial, which would be the next item coming up. But to even get to that item, we've got to change the future land use map. So you're saying what's going to happen, what may happen here and there, we don't know. We don't know what kind of commercial stuff could be going in there. It could be close to residential. It's not having industrial. I mean, this ACH is pretty much like the highway commercial along Highway 30, where it also bumps up against residential neighborhoods and stuff like that, too. But this future land use map is commercial only, but not industrial, which is areas like in the Northwest.
Yeah. And one of the uses that's allowed in commercial, technically in highway commercial, but that's a specific zoning. This is the future land use, so it's kind of broad. But one of the uses is apartments. And so oftentimes you'd see a buffer there of apartments or more dense housing, and that can be in the commercial area even, which would then be the buffer to the residential. So,
I mean, I take a lot of pride in saying we're not Omaha, but an example would be West Maple Road in Omaha, where you've got the commercial strip down, you've got the buildings, all the businesses on the right, you got some apartments, and then from there it kind of leads into residential areas. You know, yeah. That would be an area with commercial, if it was zoned a highway commercial, could lead to. Now, again, when those plats come through, that is definitely within your power to simply say, we want to see something a little bit more. We don't want to see a big box hardware store up against somebody's single family house, stuff like that. But again, that's in the future, and we got to get there first. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So we have a motion on the floor to be voted on. Is it, we ready to do that? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that will also go to City Council in 3 weeks. I'll open a public hearing to consider an ordinance adopting an updated zoning map on tax lots 21 and 246 in Section 14, Township 18 North, Range 11, east of 6 p.m., changing the zoning district from RL, residential low density, to TA, transitional agriculture. Tax lots 181 and 287 in Section 14, Township 18 North, Range 11, east of the 6 p.m., changing the zoning district from RM, residential medium density, to TA, transitional agriculture. Tax lots 253 256, 284, and 288 in Section 13, Township 18 North, Range 11, and Tax Lot 16 in Section 24, Township 18 North, Range 11, changing the zoning district from Ag, General Agriculture, to TA, Transitional Agriculture, all in Washington County, Nebraska, Hollow Road Bypass area. Jeff.
Thank you. So, we did want to lump everything together for the next couple of items, which are rezoning for the current land use map. We tried to keep everything as condensed as possible. So the first item for agenda item is going to deal with the Transitional Ag District, which is a new district that was just approved last month of last year. And that is an area that is no longer traditional ag, like we'll show you in a little bit where it's at now, but gives still the agricultural benefits and tax benefits, but because it's suburban and urban in nature, also moves a little bit more toward more of a buffer zone for the city. So again, we're talking about the Hollow Road Bypass area, this whole area here that we're expanding into. The areas we're talking about are actually in the city limits, which would be this lot here, RL, and then another zone, RM, and this area is currently agricultural, and this is currently agricultural. Well, as we expand our city limits, we want a little more protection. I don't want to say protection, but more of a buffer. You know, as people are in the ag area, they can certainly do more things with their land than we probably want this close to the city as it's expanding. The idea of going to traditional ag, this new zoning means they can keep using their land as they do now, but it's also agricultural. So as the taxing process goes through, and we've checked with the county assessor on this, because it's looked at as agricultural, not residential, they will still be taxed at their agricultural rate. In fact, we have two parcels right here, that's about three or four tax lots, that is currently being taxed as residential. We would like those to be considered transitional ag also, because literally they are traditional ag, they are ag right now. So again, on your left here is the current zoning. You'll see the two residentials, and nothing with the color on it is agricultural. After, with the approval of tonight and with City Council, these areas will now be considered traditional ag. And again, that lets them do a lot of the ag uses, but not all of the ag uses. You know, you're limited to a number of cattle. You can still do husbandry for animal, as we went through the TA to transitional ag. But you can't do as many as, you know, it's like one animal unit per acre and stuff like that, row crop. So, again, the idea is to keep the city a little more protection, kind of a buffer zone, but still give the ag area as it is now a little more protection too from being taxed as residential. We think it's kind of a win-win, at least in my opinion. If there's any questions for staff for these land use zoning changes?
Thanks, Jeff. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak on this issue?
Joe Ronimus, R-O-N-E-M-O-U-S. And I live at 1109 South 17th Avenue, top of the hill. And my entire property line goes across right next, well, share the same fence as RL.
Oops. Yep.
Top wrong button. Yeah, hit the bottom one again. Because you blinked.
Don't give me too many buttons.
Yeah.
Right here. Iron Tile property land goes there. But I just got some questions. I mean, what are the future plans for this? Is it commercial, light residential, or what?
Right now it's residential. So the future land use map says residential. This is going back even farther past that into the transitional ag, so that it stays at that point. It cannot become anything commercial. We'd have to rezone in the future land use map to get beyond that. So future land use, the allowable changes And then everything can be changed, of course, but right now it's residential.
Okay.
For future land use.
So there's no time frame for this yet?
No.
No, this is just future land use map, just changing the map.
One of my big concerns is if you go out there and look at the topographical features of that land, the entire watershed from half of that area up there runs down into my backyard where the dry creek is. And I watched what they did down on Wilbur Avenue when Subex fit the housing area down there, and all the mud and ruts and everything else, all that will flow into my backyard. So I'm concerned about that.
That's what's currently happening.
Right now it's just water, but the grass slows it down, so it's not rushing down, there's no erosion. But you take a bulldozer to that, and it's pretty steep.
Well, right now, there's no change right now.
Okay.
It's just a future land.
I might have been too early in that fact feature, but so I guess you guys don't have any, you know, proposed layouts, streets, or anything like that. Well, that's kind of what I wanted, and just, I think I got what TA means. It's like, you leave it as ag until somebody sells it and somebody wants to build on it.
When someone comes forward and wants to do something with it, that's the time.
Well, thank you all for your time.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else want to speak on this issue? Yes, Jeff.
I will say, though, if it does ever become platted and maybe subdivided into a subdivision like that, what he brought up is a very good point. That is something, again, that we, in at least my area, need to pay more attention to is the water erosion and sediments, slip plans for stormwater, stuff like that. So as we get through these plans and future subdivisions, I hope to pay more attention to this to, you know, cause to ease any of these problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Anyone else? I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Any discussion?
No questions. No discussion.
Nothing?
Unless you do.
Nope, I'm going to read it off as I...
Okay, go for it.
Recommend approval as presented of the updated zoning map for the area north of the Hollow Road bypass.
I'll second that.
A motion by Kading, second by Schroeder to approve the... change to the, or the ordinance for the change to the future land use map. Sorry.
So this is the current land use, not future land use. Current land use.
Oh, that's, sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't say that, but it's the current zoning map.
Okay, the current. So we're stopping. Zoning map. Oh, that's right. You're right. Yeah. Sorry about that, folks. Yeah, it's no, it is the zoning map.
Like Jeff said, too many maps tonight, so but it is what it is.
Any further discussion on what I just, my discussion? Okay, please vote. I just gotta read that better.
You only got one more left. You only got one more left.
All commission members present voting aye.
You're all confused.
You're right.
One more match.
Okay. No. I'll open a public hearing to consider another ordinance adopting an updated zoning map for tax lots 282, 283, and 285 in Section 13, Township 18 North, Range 11, east of the 6 p.m. Orson County, changing the zoning district from Ag, General Agriculture, to ACH, Agriculture Highway Commercial. South Hall Road bypass area.
Thank you. All right, for your last agenda item tonight, dealing with the land use, which our current zoning. This would be those three tax lots that the Planning Commission just recommended for changing to commercial. So again, we're talking the Hollow Road bypass area right here. And the three tax lots are this one here, second one here, second one here, P35, the Hollow Road. This is already zoned ACH. Again, our three tax lots we're talking here, already zoned ACH. Now that there's been a recommendation for the future land use map as commercial, we are requesting that those three lots be rezoned into highway commercial ACH. Would be contiguous with the current ACH at this area. As Phil mentioned earlier, or Mr. Green mentioned earlier, there has been some interest by the landowner for commercial use already. So by getting a kind of a head start on this, they can go forward what they want to do. Does allow for apartments. If for some reason parts of this area which are now would be changed to highway commercial, maybe there's a residential subdivision or single family, then we can address that at a later date through a rezoning by the developer, if that even happens. But this just gets us a good start and makes sure all three of those areas are open up for commercial development. Not saying there's going to be anything yet. We know how it works. We've done some changes already that have fallen through, but this then just does again clear the way for development for that area. Any questions for staff?
Thank you, Jeff. Is anyone in the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Okay. Recommend approval as presented of the update zoning map for tax lots 282, 283, and 285, the area south of the Hollow Road bypass, changing the zoning district from Ag, General Agricultural, to ACH, Agricultural Highway Commercial.
Motion by Kaden, second by Schroeder to consider an ordinance adopting an updated zoning map for two, lots 282, 283, and 285. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
I will also go to the city council. Is there a report from staff?
Just real quickly, number one, thank you. You know, lots of land use type stuff. One of the things that Jeff and I have been talking about doing is you know, once we get kind of ahead of some of these different development things that are going on, is begin the process of evaluating all of the areas that are in our 2 mile zoning jurisdiction, just to make sure that they seem to be what they should be, both on the future land use map specifically, and then, you know, the current zoning is going to pretty much stay ag in most of those areas until city limits get closer to those, and then we'll look at that transitional ag. So hopefully in the future, our future land use map is more appropriate. You know, it's probably been neglected a little bit too much over the years, and that causes all these different things that we've been doing. So appreciate you guys bearing with us on that. The only other thing I wanted to say was staff is working hard to try to do a better job with all of our different boards regarding how we work with you. So I passed out a little note earlier tonight, just kind of helping you understand a little bit more about SPARC. We're going to be inviting you to come to a little special training session next month. So first Tuesday of February, we're hoping to start at 6:30, not the meeting at 6:30. It'll be a training session for about 20 minutes or so. That'll still give a 10-minute gap between that and the actual meeting starting. But you will be getting an invite to come at 6:30 so that we can take a little bit of time with showing you a few more details on SPARC and where you can find certain information, some things like that. So appreciate your involvement, and thank you for your faithfulness.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Motion by Schroeder, second by Boswell to adjourn. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Okay, thank you. Y'all are